I would like to congratulate Juju Smith-Schuster, the social media star and part-time wide receiver. Juju has reached 1 million subscribers on YouTube. 1 million subscribers on YouTube. Juju threw himself a party on Twitter. Balloons and everything. A numeral 1 balloon and a letter M balloon. 1 million. Get it? And he sat on a car and it was like a parade. That is quite a big accomplishment. 1 million subscribers on YouTube. Bigger than a Super Bowl and better than all pro. Pittsburgh should have a parade, like when Hines Ward won Dancing with the Stars. But Hines Ward also won 2 Super Bowls and a Super Bowl MVP. But this is bigger. This is social media. This is YouTube. This is bigger. This means more. For Juju and his fans, football isn't football anymore. Football is now American Idol. It's about popularity and not winning, as demonstrated by Juju underachieving last year and fumbling away the playoffs 2 seasons in a row. But nonetheless, you'd love Juju more than Ben, and Juju is the Steelers' most popular player, even though Juju's mostly effed up, and Ben brought 2 rings to this hellhole. Without, you would still be living and wallowing in the 70s and Terry Bradshaw. Oh yeah, you didn't like him either. Captain Nemo brought to you by 84 Lumber, helping you build the right way since 1956. I just don't get the whole Juju thing. He's a bum. He had a terrible season last year, got outperformed by a rookie. Don't tell me about Duck and Rudolph. Look at the rookie, Deontay. He did just fine, didn't he? Juju's fumbled away the playoffs 2 years in a row. He clearly isn't as dedicated to football as he is his brand. And yet you people keep loving Juju and not appreciating Ben Roethlisberger, who puts football first. Heck, he even dropped pornography to be more dedicated. And you just keep loving Juju. I don't get it. I remember when winning mattered to Pittsburgh. I remember when a guy like Juju, you would have been pissed off at all the time. Oh, what's he doing on YouTube all the time? Catch a ball. Don't fumble. But now all you do is, well, you know, he's being smart. He's promoting his brand. He needs to make sure he has money after football. Why do you give a frig if he has a single cent after football? Why does that matter to you? Catch the ball. Win Super Bowls. Don't be a punk. But that's Pittsburgh. Seriously, like, I've been here a long time, and I'm not going to leave. But just like I'm embarrassed by the country mostly, I'm embarrassed by Pittsburgh. I remember what sports used to be in Pittsburgh, and now I see what sports is now. And boy, it's a quantum leap from hardcore to stupid. Used to be hardcore, now it's stupid. Seriously, you tell me, why do you give a frig if Juju has one thin dime when his playing days are done? Why do you give a frig about Juju's brand? Why aren't you doing what I'm doing, which is laughing at this grown-ass man posing with balloons that say 1M for 1 million on YouTube, which, I'm sorry, if you give a fornication about that, then you're an idiot. Hey, I gave you the chance to talk about hockey. You didn't, so this is what you're getting right now. Wait till Juju fails again. Or here's the 2 situations you're looking at with Juju, okay? Either he plays great, and if he plays great, guess what happens? Steelers won't pay him, and then he leaves. Or he plays bad, and then the Steelers won't want him, and then he leaves. Either way, you're pissed off, but either way, I guarantee you're not pissed off at him because he has you so fooled. You were such marks for this guy who's a football player second, a brand first, and you just don't get it. But that's okay, because like I said, you're not the sports town you used to be. You love people like Juju. Well, you pay lip service to loving the Pirates, but you never go. You watch on TV where it's free. The Bucks. Remember when Cueto dropped the ball? Those are the two big happenings in Pittsburgh sports as far as you marks and rubes are concerned over the past, 5 years. Cueto dropping the ball and Juju hitting 1 million YouTube subscribers. Hey, that'd be a good Twitter poll. What do you guys think? Call in now, 412-333-WXDX. What was a bigger moment, when Cueto dropped the ball or when Juju got 1 million YouTube subscribers? I would tend to think it's Cueto dropping the ball and then Juju, and then the Penguin Stanley Cups, they rank third and fourth. And maybe something Pitt football did. I don't know. What about the Steelers? What about, did they win a playoff game in that time? I'm not sure. 412-333-9939 is the number to call. Anyway, that Penguins power play, I'm convinced more and more that Brian Rust should be the guy in the Kessel spot. And there are things about Brian Rust in that spot I would not like. He's not going to pull people over from Sid and Gino. That's been the problem. When Kessel was on the left half wall, the other team's box had to spread out on the PK, and Phil gave Gino and Sid more room to operate. Since Kessel left, that has not happened. And Rust, I'm not sure, would get that kind of respect. I think Letang in that spot would have a better chance to get that kind of respect. And as I've often said, there's never anything wrong with having two defensemen out there on the power play. You may remember when the Penguins were under siege by shorthanded goals a couple years back and how damaging that was. But Rusty has 27 goals in 55 games. One thing he does good is he drives the net from that spot when it's applicable, which Phil Kessel, did, but not really. Phil did so in a dainty fashion. Rusty will get his hands dirty. So it would be, for me, Rust, second choice Letang. I know some of the hockey media that likes to reinvent the game wants to move Gino over there or Sid. That would be taking each out of his sweet spot on the power play. So I'm just not doing that. Let's go to Howard on the south side. Howard, you're on with Double M.
Hey, man. I just wanted to say I totally agree.
Hello? Well, it's disappointing. Somebody who totally agreed with me, then his phone cut out. I think it's a conspiracy. Let's go to Mark in Florida. Mark, you're on with Double M.
What up, Super Genius?
What up, man?
We have three restricted free agents coming up in this offseason. Who would you go and re-sign early? And because obviously with the three free agents, one of them is going to be priced out.
So let me see if I have this straight. They just started practice today to get ready for the playoffs, and you want to talk about what's going to happen after the playoffs.
That is correct. I know it makes absolutely no sense, but I know nothing about what transpired today as far as training camp goes. So,
in a nutshell, Hornquist sat out. That was it. So the three restricted free agents are Matt Murray, Connor Sherry, and who's the other one?
I believe, I can't remember for the life of me.
You called up very prepared for this. This is good. Thank you for calling. Never call again. Who is the other restricted free agent? Is it Pettersson? No, Pettersson got an extension. Well, at any rate, Sherry's going to determine his career path here in Pittsburgh by what he does or does not do in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Murray, I think they're going to trade because they just aren't going to pay him what he wants. They just aren't going to pay him what he wants. And the other restricted free agent, since I can't think of his name, I'm going to assume he's not that important, and I'll assume they let him go. 412, is it Jared McCann? I think it might be Jared McCann. Well, they got to keep Jared McCann. Oh, wait, Sport Track to the rescue. Restricted free agent. Yep. Well, the restricted free agents are Matt Murray, Evan Rodriguez, Jared McCann, Dominic Simone, Juuso Riikola. I don't see Connor Sherry on here, but I think he must be. Maybe he's unrestricted. At any rate, You got to keep McCann. Everybody else, it's a crapshoot. 412-333-9939. We've got some more calls coming in. We'll get to them in a second. And we have Penguin CEO David Morehouse at the bottom of the hour. And then we have Penguins defenseman Chris Letang next hour. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Mark Madden,
yes.
Your voice is like sweet nectar to my ears.
The last thing we need is a lot of loose talk.
I like it. I like it.
The X at 105.9.
We got a couple sound bites from Sidney Crosby. We'll get to a little later on. Right now, let's go to Jeff in West Deer. Jeff, you're on the Mark Madden Show.
Hey, Mark. Great show today, as always. Hey, Sidney Crosby is a creature of habit. I just kind of have a funny feeling he's got some pent-up aggression, and he is going to get shot out like a cannon in the playoffs. What do you think?
I don't know about the pent-up aggression part, but I think Sid's going to have a great playoff. I think this is right in Sid's wheelhouse. He's rested. He hasn't played in a bit. You know nobody stays in better shape than him. It's a short training camp. Him and the other 30-somethings will be going into a playoff with more gas in the tank than they've ever had before. Patrick Hornquist, too, he'll go into the playoffs for the first time, not feeling like he's been hit by a truck. Now, that said, I know Sid has been preaching to the players, you know, you've got to quarantine, you've got to stay out of areas where you can get the virus, but then nine guys weren't on the ice today. So I know it was secondary contact. I know that precaution can only go so far, but I think for the most part, athletes are going to do what they want to do. Maybe Sid can limit that. Maybe his leadership will take hold in that regard like it does on the ice and in the dressing room. I certainly hope so, because the hockey playoffs, like any sport, could easily turn into a war of attrition.
Thank you for taking my call, Mark.
Thank you for calling. 412-333-WXDX. I think the NBA has no chance. No chance. Remember when Westbrook and Harden wouldn't accompany Houston on the team playing to the bubble? Well, now Westbrook is COVID positive and he's being quarantined for 14 days. Some Instagram model who's super hot, my God, she tweeted that she's been invited inside the bubble by an NBA player. So they're bringing in, you know, Instagram models already. I think there's some athletes who just don't care if they play or not, who just don't care if they get sick or not, who just aren't going to adjust their lifestyle one little bit, no matter what. And I think those are going to be in fewest number in hockey, but I wouldn't count it out either. And when you add in the notion that some guys just don't want to play, and in that vein, by the way, tonight at 5 p.m., just 41 minutes away, is the deadline for NHL players to opt out. Now, whether that means they can't opt out after 5 o'clock tonight, I don't know. I will say in baseball, it seems like there is no deadline, and I can see players opting out right up until opening day, and maybe even after. That's one weird thing about telling the players, and every sport's done this. Every sport has told the players, hey, if you opt out, no hard feelings. You have to do what's best for you and your family. I'm not sure I would have put it that way. I would have said, listen, if you want to opt out, that's fine. You won't get paid. I wouldn't have made it so family-friendly. I wouldn't have made it so hunky-dory, but that's what they said about David Bowie. I would have made clear you're not getting paid, and I would have left it at that. I wouldn't have said, hey, it's A-OK, because I want my players to show up and play. I wouldn't hold it against them if they didn't, but nor would I announce that fact that I wouldn't hold it against them if they didn't. So I think players deciding at a later date to opt out, they're just not thinking of their team, not thinking of their teammates, not thinking of the fans, not thinking of the sport. There should have been a deadline in every sport. And if a player decided to opt out after the deadline, I don't know what kind of penalty you could have imposed on him, but there should be something. Because this is just, it's too chaotic with guys, you know, being able to decide whenever they want. Like Alex Pietrangelo, the Blues captain, it's rumored he's going to opt out because he just had triplets. But, you know, here we are 41 minutes away from the supposed deadline, and we still don't know. That guy Travis Simonic that opted out. I know a lot of guys that have played with him. Nobody respects him. Nobody likes him. He's always bitching and moaning about something. He's always finding an excuse not to play. So while it's his option to opt out, I know a lot of people who aren't surprised by it and are laughing at it. You know, just because you get carte blanche to opt out if you like, doesn't mean your intentions are pure if you do. Let's go to Melvin in Greensburg. Melvin, you're on the Mark Madden Show.
Hey, Mark, I just have a quick question. Let's say if you were the NHL commissioner, how would you handle the coronavirus with the players? Would you make them quarantine in their houses away from everybody?
Well, they are allegedly quarantined in their houses away from everybody. What I would have done is exactly what the NHL has done. I think their plan is mostly logistically sound, but I would have quarantined them at a hotel right by the training facility during the camp. I would have, there are a bunch of hotels right by the Lemieux complex. If it would have been up to me, I would have had those players be no place but the hotel and the Lemieux complex for the entirety of training camp, thus absolutely minimizing the chances of contracting coronavirus. I know that takes you away from your wife and kids, but you've had time with your wife and kids for 4 weeks nonstop. For me, it's time to go to work.
I agree. I just look at it this way. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of freedom in there too, right?
No, there doesn't. Not when you're dealing with a frigging pandemic.
Yeah, but Mark, I just feel like you really think you're something with this pandemic, and you just don't understand how it works.
No, I think I do understand how it works. I understand that if you're quarantined during training camp, you won't get it. And isn't that what's most important in terms of getting hockey back on the ice?
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So tell me what I don't get, because I got a feeling I get it a lot better than you do.
Well, I mean, when this first really started happening, you were just putting out some bad information, and I just...
Right, because everybody turned to me for what was really going on with the pandemic. I'm probably responsible for a lot of deaths and a lot of cases, and certainly all the shoplifting in New York City, which is a big problem now.
Oh, my. I hope not.
So, again, tell me what I don't get. Okay, what? Is it unfair to keep these guys away from their family? See, here's another way I would have handled it if I were the NHL or any sports league. I would have said, listen, we're going to quarantine you from training camp through the season, and if that's not good enough, then you don't play. Okay? That's how the league should have approached it. Because if you don't play, you don't get paid. You got to do it our way because it's the way that'll work. But instead, they're trying to be nice. They're trying to, you know, make sure everybody's happy and comfortable with this. Let me tell you the second dumbest thing the NHL is going to do. When the conference finals roll around, they're going to let the families join the players. So in other words, at that point, they will have had a bubble intact for three playoff runs, and they will be breaking it.
Yeah, but I think psychologically it would probably help them just a little bit better if they still have contact.
You're right. Yeah. It'd be great for their psychology when they get COVID because their kids and wives bring it in and they have to stop the playoff. But they'd feel great psychologically. Do you understand what it's going to take to make this work? Because I don't think you do. In fact, you said before I didn't get it.
Herd
now
immunity.
I'm thinking not only you don't get it, but you're a total idiot.
No, herd immunity, sir. That's what it's going to take.
You're right. Let's all get it and then play hockey, I don't know, 2024. You know what? You're a moron. Don't call. Don't listen. Don't do anything. Don't ever talk to anybody again. Bye now. Herd immunity. Okay, up next, Penguin CEO David Morehouse. Here on 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, what's happening, Mark?
Loud noises!
The X at 105.9.
The Penguins starting training camp today, and that was made much easier by the NHL and the Players Union agreeing to a new CBA prior. Joining me to discuss all that and more, he is Penguins CEO and President David Morehouse. David, league rules keep you from commenting on the nine players being held out today due to potential secondary exposure, but was any thought given to quarantining the players during training camp? Because that seems like it might have been your best bet?
I'm not sure that there was thought given to it. I think you have a good point. But I think with the back and forth between the Players Association and the league, I think the players strongly wanted to remain with their families as long as they could, understandably. And we're just following NHL protocols. We're taking a safe route, and we're trying to isolate players as best we can. And you know, our biggest challenge is getting through the next 2 weeks and getting ourselves to Toronto. But I think our players are ready. I think they've been doing it for the last 6 weeks. So I think with the NHL and with the with Gary Bettman and NHL and Donald Farron and the Players Association, what we're able to do is kind of unprecedented since I've been with the Penguins. They were able to work together. They worked in a collaborative way, and they put together a future for the league for the next 6 years that gives us some economic certainty and gives us labor peace and gives us a way to come out of this, economic and health crisis that we're currently in.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that because the NHL and the Players Union seem to understand there's a pandemic, and that sets them apart from the other sports leagues, having avoided that labor dispute. Now, what were the negotiations like for that CBA? Because I was shocked it came together so quickly and so, well, I don't want to say easily, but that's what it seemed like. And did the pandemic make it easier? Was there more urgency and perhaps cooperation because of that?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think, from the very beginning, I think the commissioner and the owners and the other governors, along with the players and their leadership, recognized that, we are in the middle of a pandemic. It is a crisis. And in order for us to come out of this, it's in all of our interest to work together to solve problems and not do a typical labor negotiation. So I think, the tenor of the meetings, the Board of Governors meetings and all the strategy meetings from the very beginning was collaborative. I've never seen the league, I've sat through two lockouts since I've been here. So I haven't seen that kind of cooperation and willingness to kind of, let's just figure this thing out. Let's try to make sure we can come out of this so the players aren't unduly burdened on the escrow side. And so the teams, can minimize their losses and we can both come out of this with a product that's, back to normal.
Now the salary cap is frozen next year at 81.5 mil. So it's not subject to revenue dropping during the pandemic. What's that mean to the Penguins, Dave?
I think, we have Jim Rutherford as the GM, so he has this. We're pretty lucky in that, not only do we have an ownership group of Mario Lemieux and Ron Burke who put a lot of emphasis on winning, but Jim is very, very cognizant of where we are from a cap perspective. I think we're in good shape next year, and I think we're going to make a good run this year also.
Now, Now, that said, Dave, revenue has been lost because the league is so reliant on ticket sales. How much has the pandemic hurt the Penguins financially, and where have the owners weighed in on that, Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle?
I mean, it's hurt every business in every sector of the economy, so it's definitely hurt us. I think Ron Burkle and Mario, anytime I talk to them, they ask me how people are doing. They're most concerned about the people we had to furlough, the people who aren't able to work on game nights, the ushers, the concession workers, and they've stepped up and put some money in the community, and they've definitely, we have a hardship fund we've put together that is, if anyone that has been furloughed has additional economic challenges, they can tap into that hardship fund. So I think they've been like everyone else. I mean, they've been very much concerned about the people who work here.
Now, how will the league know when to let people in the arenas again? I'm sure that was discussed between the union and the league. And is that dependent on a vaccine?
I think it's dependent. First of all, I think you know, the plan that they put together is one of the smarter plans that we've done and that I've seen. The fact that we're not even contemplating starting next season until December and maybe even January means we're giving it more time for either a vaccine or a medicine that's developed that makes it less deadly or less contagious. So, you know, the whole science world's focused on this right now. I think having that extra time into December and also into the beginning of next year gives us an advantage. And you know, we will not open our doors until we can ensure that our fans will be safe. And we're looking at different ways to make the building safe as far as retrofitting and living in today's reality.
Now, jumping ahead to next season, if you start in December or January, say, can you get in a full 82-game season? And would you be willing to do it without fans in the stands if that's what science dictates?
I don't think they're looking to do it without fans in the stands. I mean, I know it's one of the scenarios. I do think we could get through an 82-game schedule. It would bleed into the summer. And then the following year, I think we'd probably start in October like we should anyway. So I think the math works for a January 1st start, moving through June and in the beginning of July or mid-July. And I think that's probably our best case scenario.
We're talking to Penguins CEO David Morehouse here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X. Let me ask you about a couple long-term futures, David, for the Penguins. Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin have contracts that expire in 2022. Are you confident they can both be retained?
I'm confident that Jim Rutherford, Mary Lemieux, and Ron Burke will do whatever they can to make sure we're the best team to put on the ice. So I think, is it possible from a salary cap standpoint? Yes. We think we have a window in the next few years to make a few runs at the cup, and we're not going to actively try to break that window apart. So I think ownership's commitment to winning, along with, you know, having a Hall of Fame general manager and Jimmy Rutherford, I think we when those contracts are up for discussion, I think we'll have those discussions, and they'll do whatever they can to make the team best. The best it can be.
Now, you mentioned Jim Rutherford. He's 71. He's dynamic as ever. How long can he keep going? And boy, at 71, in the middle of this pandemic, he has to really watch himself more than most, doesn't he?
Well, I think he's aging backwards. I mean, he made the joke. I remember the press conference when we announced him, you know, that he outlasted a lot of the people that were in Carolina questioning his age. I think he's going to outlast all of us. I mean, there's no sign of Jim Rutherford slowing down. He's still the same general manager he was from day one. He's still very much in tune with how to build a team around a core of players, how to pick the right coaches, press the right buttons at the right times, and make moves when other people aren't making moves. So I think you know, I don't think that Jim is someone who's 71. I actually think he's aging backwards. I don't know what he has up there in Sickly Heights, but it's making him younger.
Now, the team has a great opportunity right now, doesn't it? We've been talking about that all day. You got your 30-something stars rested for the playoffs like never before. Gensel is back. Hopefully now we finally get to see your depth. I mean, nobody wanted the league to stop for 4 months, but it seems like it's worked out in the Penguins' favor, if in anybody's.
I think this team, like you said, Mark, having the veterans that we have fresh, having the young players surrounding them, and having the kind of coaching that we have going into a tournament-style playoff, I think is to our advantage. I think we do have the right kind of team for this format. That being said, you know, the other thing that's important, our players for the involuntary workouts, they've been here for 6 weeks. I mean, we've had the majority of our team, they've been skating, and I don't know if you got a chance to see today's camp at all, but they look like they've been working hard. So I'm not sure that's the case with every team. I know it's the case with our team, and I know the captain, Sidney Crosby, made sure it was the case. So, I think you're right. I think this isn't your ideal way to have a playoff. It's not your ideal way to go into a season, but it is what we have, and I think we're well situated for it.
Now, you mentioned Sid and his leadership, and one thing I've heard is that he's telling the players, hey, you got to, protect yourself. You got to social distance, all the stuff we hear to keep people away from the virus. And I do wonder if every team has that. And actually, David, I wonder if every team has a leader that the players are all going to listen to in that regard.
I mean, you have it coming from Sid, you have it coming from Gino, and then you have it coming from Sully. And Sully has a little bit louder of a voice than the rest of them. So I think they get the message loud and clear. I think they're doing the right things. And I think you'll see that on the ice as training camp moves forward. And this format, I'm not sure what other teams are skating as hard as we're skating this early in the camp.
Now, what's the reaction going to be in Pittsburgh, do you think? And obviously all of us are hoping for the best, but we're also just guessing. What's the reaction going to be in Pittsburgh when hockey starts again on August 1st, which is certainly not a hockey time of year? Then again, we're starved for it. Then again, you can't go to the games. It's a TV-only business. Are people going to watch the Penguins in August, and what will the general reaction in town be?
Well, we lead the league in local television ratings, or we've led the league 10 of the last 12 years. We set a local TV RSN record for baseball, basketball, and the NHL after the last lockout. So I think people will come back. We see it in our social interactions. We've maintained contact with our season ticket holders, with our corporate partners. I think for the most part, people are excited for us to come back. And I think they'll come back as strong as they were before. I said this earlier in an interview, but it's easy to forget that Pittsburgh is a small market when you look at the Penguins, because we've been performing like a big market team for 12 years now, and longer. So we do have a really deep and committed fan base. And I think that's what has allowed us to put championship teams on the ice. And it will allow us to come out of this crisis in a way that I think many other cities would envy.
Finally, Dave, what's the Penguins' role in the ongoing issues with diversity and equality? Because those have cropped up in hockey to some degree, but the discussions, from my viewpoint, have mostly been amicable.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of statements. A lot of people have made statements. And what I said early on to our people is we're not an organization that just makes statements. So we want to see something tangible. So I had a question from someone from the hockey news who asked me, how can the NHL become more diverse? And I said, well, it's a 15-year project. I mean, so we're committed to, engaging in that 15-year project. We're committed to getting more minority kids on the ice in our Learn to Play programs, identifying them and putting them on an elite track, providing the support necessary for them to be able to go through and even have a shot at playing AAA hockey, let alone college hockey or NHL hockey. So we're committed to doing that. We've done it already, and we've built 3 deck hockey rinks in the city. We have, I think, 15 deck hockey rinks now around the region. We're looking to create a program specifically to get kids from those deck hockey rinks to the ice hockey rinks. We'd love to have an ice arena inside the city of Pittsburgh. Right now, there is no more hockey rinks in the city proper. But we're also doing things on the development side. We're creating opportunities. We're working with Ammon Recreation Center in the Hill District. We're not just creating jobs programs. We're creating programs that reach into the middle school age kids, and we're partnering with the building trades and offering them, alongside the Pittsburgh Promise, an opportunity to if they follow this track, to have a building trade job that pays $70,000-$80,000 when they get out of high school. We're doing lots of things with small businesses, small business incubation, with minority contractors. So we're doing a lot, and we're going to continue to do a lot, and it's necessary. And the NHL does need to be more diverse, and but it takes a lot of work to get to the NHL, and so we're going to try to put a program together that is the support network that will allow for that to happen.
Well, Dave, go ahead.
As we've done with the Pens Elite program, I mean that program in less than 10 years has 12 kids in three birth years and playing Canadian Major Juniors. Has four kids in the USHL, has had two kids on a U.S. developmental team. So and there's kids developing outside of the Pens Elite from S-Mark, from other teams around the region. We think we're developing a lot of hockey talent out of Pittsburgh, and we hope to diversify that.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time. Now, I know you don't like talking on this, but if I'm ever getting beat up outside the arena, can you come out and save me? Because look at me, I'm old and I'm fat. And I just don't have that beach view killer instinct. I'm going to need help, Dave.
Yeah, that was a little bit overblown. But the one thing I did get out of it was my daughter, my 7-year-old, heard the story. She heard the word, you know, exaggerated hero. And then she walked into my I was on a Zoom call with the Board of Governors. And she heard me say, Mr. Commissioner. And then she asked me later on in the day, are you Batman? She thought I was talking to Commissioner Gordon. So at least my 7-year-old thinks I'm Batman. So don't tell her. I'm sure she's not listening right now, but I'm going to try to keep that a secret for a while and let her think I'm Batman.
Well, I think that probably counts most, Dave. Your secret is safe with me. Hey, thanks again, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Good talking to you.
That's David Morehouse, CEO and president of the Pittsburgh Penguins. A lot of light shed on the situation moving forward because getting that CBA done and freezing the cap for next year and getting a better understanding on escrow, that means a whole lot to the league moving forward. It may be a bit chaotic now, but when the NHL comes out of that chaos, the league will be much better for the work having been done with that CBA. Okay, now it's time for the bonus segment of Ask Mark Anything. So call now and ask Mark Anything. And don't forget more Hockey Talk next hour with Chris Letang of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins camp open today. Season starts, rather, on August 1st. I'm Mark Madden. Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX.
Paid. And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, huge fan.
You're talking to the super genius.
No doubt, Double M.
Hey, Mark, here's the best onion ring.
Ooh.
The X at 105.9.
Time to Ask Mark Anything, the bonus segment brought to you by Fox Bet. Make the call. Download the app today. Adults 21 and over. Dial 412-333-WXDX and Ask Mark Anything, but dial 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a gambling problem. We're a full-service sports talk show. Your gambling problem will help you lose more. I mean, just 1-800-GAMBLER, okay? Here's the one thing that gives me optimism for the NHL restart. Not that the league's going to Manitoba, but it is going to Alberta, to Edmonton. No new COVID-19 cases in Manitoba for the 13th day in a row. Only one active case in the province right now. The whole province. And what did we have? 50,000 new cases in America yesterday? The other countries care and cooperate and know what they're doing, and we don't. We're a nation of imbeciles. Selfish jerks. In fact, if you made me pick what we had more of, selfish jerks or imbeciles, that would be tough to try to figure. And some people are both selfish jerks and imbeciles, so I don't know. I just don't know. And reflecting that, even though this guy was born in Brazil, he's no doubt Americanized for playing in the NBA. Bruno Caboclo. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but I don't care if I am. He plays for Houston, I think. And he now has been put into quarantine because he broke the bubble as soon as he got there. As soon as he got to the bubble, this idiot left his hotel room, even though he was told not to, and now must quarantine for another 8 days. According to basketball writer Tim McMahon of ESPN, Caboclo left his room during the initial quarantine period. He was unaware that he was not allowed to do so despite the league informing all players and staff of the protocol. He should have known, the source said. It was no secret. So that would be funny if it wasn't really sad. And you heard what David Morehouse said, that that the players wanted to spend as much time with their families before going to the bubble in the NHL. But the league should have said, too bad. The league should have said, this is what it takes to make this work. This isn't about family. It's about doing what you need to do to figure out your way through the pandemic and finish the league. This isn't a situation where agreeing to compromise does any good. And that's where you say to the players, listen, if you don't want to do this, then that's okay. No hard feelings, but we're just going to cancel the league. And then you put them at a choice between their money or going away from their family for a couple extra weeks. And that's all it would have been, is a couple extra weeks. But I guarantee things are going to get worse than they are already because the players are quarantined during training camp. And then the dumbest thing of all is letting the families join the players for the conference and Stanley Cup finals. Because at that point, the bubble is really established if you get that far, and then you're voluntarily breaking it. And again, it's another example of why I'm not just picking on Gary Bettman. He's a moron, clearly, but I'm not just picking a moron in this instance. I actually have an affinity for Gary because he kept the Penguins here. But it's just another example of how poorly American sports leagues are being administered during this pandemic, which means they've always been really poorly administrated, but we're just too big to fail. Let's go to Matt in Overbrook. Matt, ask Mark anything.
Yeah, hey, Mark, big fan here. I was just seeing if you had any lucky roulette numbers. I got $25 of free play at the Rivers Casino, so I was just seeing if I could win big.
Now, are you familiar with their format for roulette? Do they have single zero, double zero, triple zero?
Oh, yeah, they have double zero. It's actually a lucky number for me. But no triple zero, just single and a double.
So they have two zero slots. Double zero.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Correct. Well, my lucky numbers are 22.
Okay.
And most of them, what's the highest number? 36, right?
Yeah, 1 through 36.
Yeah, my only one's 22, so play 22. And if you win on 22, I want half your winnings.
I will definitely do that. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
Thank you. And one thing I like to do with roulette is I like to bet like a single number and then a block on the same spin. But then again, I don't play roulette very often. Let's go to Noah. Noah in the car. Noah, you're on with Double M.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Hey, Mark, I just wanted to ask you, what excites you the most to know that sports are opening back up? Like, what are you most excited for?
Hockey. I could care less about the others. I just want hockey to get off the ground and play to a conclusion.
Me too, man. That's all I
mean, and that obviously is taking into account that the English Premier League resumed and Liverpool clinched the title. That was bigger than anything for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, besides hockey, I couldn't care less what happens with any of the other sports.
I thought maybe you'd be more excited to have more stuff to talk about on your show.
Yeah, but you know what? I've proven with my ratings staying constant that I don't need sports because I am charismatic and connected with the audience, and that's all I need. I would never finish ninth behind Farm Report.
And you're a super genius, so.
You said it, not me. Okay, up next, somebody makes the list. I got some sound from Sidney Crosby we'll get to, but I want hockey talk. I want hockey talk now. At 412-333-WXDX. If you're not fired up for hockey, I don't know what to say for you. You know, finally, there's some light at the end of that tunnel anyway. And I know the nine players sitting out today because of the threat of secondary conduct isn't exactly a great PR thing for the restart, but let's live in hope. So let's talk hockey. Now, 412-333-WXDX. And we got Chris Letang at the bottom of the hour. That don't get you fired up, then you're just incapable of being fired up. 105.9 The X.
Listen to us.